A few more coming.
Psalm 119, we begin our study tonight, and for the next 20 to 22 weeks, we will be, on Wednesday nights, we'll be looking at 8 verses each night, as this psalm is broken up into the Greek alphabet, and 8 verses are applied to each of those letters of the Greek alphabet. So Psalm number 119, and we begin in verse 1, we'll read through verse 8. Beginning in verse 1, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes! Then shall I not be ashamed, when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we give You praise tonight and we give You thanks for this opportunity to come together and to open the Word of God. Lord, we understand the tremendous blessings we have in Christ Jesus and this book that You have supplied us with. And Father, I just pray that tonight as we begin to study Psalm 119, as we begin to plumb the depths of the beauty of this passage of Scripture, I pray that You would help us to understand it, to apply it. And Father, we give You praise in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We are in Psalm number 119. As we are beginning a new lesson tonight. This psalm is the longest by far, and as most of you are aware, this is a song that was sung by the Hebrew people. Many people believe that it's David who wrote this, because whoever wrote this has a background in music, and it sounds like David. It sounds like something that David, the king of Israel, would have written. It's very intricate, very beautiful. There are 176 verses, and out of that 176 verses, 174 praise God for His Word. This is a very meaningful psalm for our day, because we live in a day and age when the Word of God is greatly neglected in the Church of Jesus Christ. We have a tendency today to replace the Word with the philosophy of men. We replace it with emotions, we replace it with jokes, and we replace it with clever speeches, but there's only one thing that saves the heart and saves the soul, and that is the Word of God. And it's amazing, if we go back, and you can go through the Old Testament, you can go through the New Testament, and you'll find that every blessing that God promised was predicated upon one thing: obedience to His Word. Every blessing that God promised to Israel, or to the nations around Israel, or to the church, to individuals within the church, every blessing depends upon the obedience of the believer in the Word of God. And so tonight we're going to look at the beginning of this psalm, and as is the case in many books of the Bible, the first verse sets the stage for the message that you will be hearing over and over as we make our way down through these verses. In verse 1, we read, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." Blessings depend upon action. Every Christian, when he reads the Word of God, will find there many promises. He will find the Lord's blessings bestowed and promised upon believers. But in order to receive those blessings, the believer must not only believe, but he must react and act on what he believes. The blessings of God are contingent upon our obedience and upon our knowledge of his word. And he begins by saying, blessed are the undefiled in the way. Now the word undefiled means forgiven. Blessed are the forgiven. So the person who has never come to that place where they would ask the Lord for forgiveness, has never repented of their sin or turned away from that sin, will never know the blessings of God. The blessings of God are bestowed upon those who have recognized their need for Jesus Christ and cry out for forgiveness. And so the first line of this wonderful song is, blessed are the forgiven, the undefiled, in the way. As we go into the book of Acts and as we make our way through the New Testament, we find that the followers of Jesus were called those who follow the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So even the Roman soldiers talked about the church, not so much as being Christians, but those who followed the way. And so we find here that in the Old Testament, before Christ ever came, we find, blessed are the undefiled or the forgiven in the way. God is good, amen? And so we find a reference to the coming Christ and to the forgiveness that we have in Jesus. Blessed are the undefiled, the forgiven in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. We are going to find in verse after verse after verse, as we make our way down through, at least in these 8 verses, we're going to find a reference here to the Word of God. Continuously, we are going to be brought back to the Word of God, because it's in the Word of God that we receive our promises. It's in the Word of God that we receive our salvation. Because here we find the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. And the Word of God is true. And so if we believe the Word of God and we believe in Christ, not only do we have the truth, but we have the way to eternal life. So blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And we see the contingency upon obedience. It's wonderful to know the Word of God. It's great to be able to sit down when you're talking to somebody and rattle off verse after verse after verse. But if you have no intention whatsoever of following what the Word of God says, you're wasting your time. And you're never going to receive the blessings that God has for you because you're not obedient to what you know. When we were children, and Mom and Dad said that they wanted us to do something, we knew what they meant. We knew exactly what they wanted us to do. But did we do it? Or did we try to skirt the issue and get around it? You see, it's one thing to know what to do. It's another thing to do what you know you should be doing. And so we find that so many times Christians will become depressed and they'll say, I don't understand why I have such a struggle. Well, the blessings of God depend upon your obedience to it. You may not feel sometimes like doing what the Word of God tells you to do, but doing it precipitates and brings about blessings. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk. That means that there is a responsibility and an accountability upon you and I. God has fulfilled His responsibility to man. He has given us the Word of God. He has written it, He has given it to men, and it's been put down in pen on paper, and it has been brought into our language so that we can read it, so there's no question. We know what God desires for us. He has done the work of creation. He created us, and He tells us about that wonderful work of creation. He then goes into bringing about, after man has fallen, He brings about the way that we might be redeemed. Christ did that work in its entirety. We were not told we had to do anything about that. Jesus did it all. And aren't you glad that He did? Jesus did it all. He fulfilled His obligations to man. As a matter of fact, God didn't even have any obligations to man. Man was completely obligated to God. But God, because of who He is, and because of His character, and because of His love, and because of His grace, gave man what man could never get on his own. And that was forgiveness. Once we understand the work of God, it is up to you and I to act upon that work. We have to believe, but then we have to obey. And so we find that we must walk in the law of the Lord. And in the first verse, the Word of God is called the law. The law was given to Israel. Commandments were given to Israel. And so we find in the first verse a reference to the Word of God, the law of the Lord. What happens when we walk in God's law? What happens when we walk in God's Word? When we pay attention to what He wants for us and what He desires for us, and we attempt to do that which God has called us to do? Well, when we walk in it, then we pursue holiness. Jesus said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." I don't know about you, but I know that when I became a Christian, that first moment that I understood how despicable I was in God's eyes, and I realized how desperately I needed Him, and I cried out for forgiveness, and I stood there in His presence, recognizing who He was for the first time, I did not feel holy. I felt very relieved. I felt very thankful. But I didn't feel holy. I felt blessed that God loved me enough to provide for me in the way that He did and the way that He does. But I certainly did not feel holy. I looked at myself and I wondered why God would even consider saving me. What did I have to offer Him? I was nothing. And yet God loved me that much. When we walk, when we obey, and when we begin to move toward God, God has already moved toward us. And such is the love of God. And so we begin a pursuit of holiness, a turning away from sin, separation from sin and the world, and an embracing of the Lord God. Verse 2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. We find here two blessings listed. The first blessing has to do with forgiveness. The second blessing has to do with those that keep His testimonies. In other words, that are obedient to the Word of God. So blessed are they that keep His testimonies. In verse 2, the word testimonies is a reference to the Word of God. What are God's testimonies? Well, when you turn back to the Old Testament and you begin to study the lives of the men there and how God dealt with them and all of the ways that He just poured out His grace upon people who did not deserve it any more than you and I. But because of His great love and His moving in the hearts of men, He sought out a man called Abraham. And He began to build a nation from Abraham. And He did it because through that nation He was going to send a Messiah, a Savior. And so we see there that those are God's testimonies. When we read about what God did with men, through men, how He used men to glorify His name, then we see what He did with the nation of Israel, how He used Israel, and how He still uses Israel. Oh yes, I know many people think that Israel has been done away with, but no, it has not. It has not. It has been set aside for now because of its unbelief. But God has great plans for Israel. All you have to do is read Ezekiel and read the book of Revelation. There are so many books in the Bible that deal with these wonderful blessings. Daniel. And so we see, blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that read the Old Testament, that understand the Word of God there, and they believe it and apply it. They learn how to apply the Word of God. They keep His Word. And notice that it continues and says, and that seek Him with the whole heart. When we look around us and we see problems in a church, and we see a church that splits, we see a church that is divided over certain issues, we see contempt and hatred on the parts of different people in the church family, I can tell you one thing about that church. Those are not wholehearted Christians, they're half-hearted Christians. They are Christians who have pledged allegiance to God, but are living for themselves. And any time you have that combination, every problem that originates in the body of Christ comes not from those who are seeking to fulfill their walk with God completely, but for those who are half-heartedly pursuing God, and the other half of their heart is set toward themselves. And so it says, blessed are they that keep His testimonies. Once they know the Word, they keep it dear to their hearts, and they meditate on it, and they work on it over and over in their minds, and that seek Him with the whole heart. There's staying power in these people. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. We all know of people who came to church for a little while and they were so excited. It was something new. And they couldn't get enough church for about 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. And then all of a sudden, the seat is empty. And they've moved on to something else that's new. You see, they pursued God, but only with half a heart. They did not seek Him to obey Him. They sought Him because they figured that He had something that they needed. But when they found out that in order to get it, that they had to commit completely and totally, and that they were living a lie because they would not commit totally, they would not put themselves upon the altar of God completely, the fun was gone. It wasn't fun anymore. To constantly come into church and sit and listen to the pastor, open the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit begin to move in your heart week after week after week about the things that you are doing wrong and you refuse to change, is misery. If you're not going to change and you don't want to change, then the church is the last place you want to be. Because the Word of God convicts, and it gets a hold of you. And it hurts. Sometimes it treads all over us, doesn't it? So blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. When they came to Christ, they came for eternity. Verse 3, they also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. What's the difference between not doing iniquity and walking in His ways? Well, those who do no iniquity are those who would try desperately to fulfill the Ten Commandments. They would look at the Ten Commandments and they would say, I will do everything in my power. Remember, this is the Old Testament. They would say, I will do everything in my power to do those commandments to the best of my ability. They would never steal. And they would try desperately not to look on a woman or a man with lust in their heart. They would try to be faithful to their wife or their husband. They would do all of these things. That would be doing no iniquity. But walking in His ways, that means that there are sins of omission. And what I mean by that is, how many times in the New Testament do we find Jesus saying, love the brethren? Love the brethren. Love the brethren. And yet, you may not steal anything. You may never even consider adultery. You might not even, the last thing that would enter your mind would be murder. But do you love the brethren? Are there people in the church that you love, or are there people in the church that you walk around to the outside of the church to get around because you can't stand them? Brothers and sisters in Christ. But you don't love them. You don't even want to tolerate them. That's a sin of omission. Because God has told us that we are to love our brethren. We don't always agree with them, but we need to love them. We need to make an attempt to understand them. They don't do iniquity, and they walk in His ways. Verse 4, thy precepts, the precepts are the Word of God. Thou hast commanded us. Notice that whoever wrote this, and I'm going to go with the assumption that it's David. David writes this, and he says, God commands us to keep His precepts. Nowhere do we find that God says, look guys, I'm going to give you some suggestions. If you like the idea, go ahead. If you don't like the idea, well, you can shelve that one, and we'll get back to that and work on it later. That's not how God works. That's how men work. We compromise on things. But God, you don't compromise with God. God has established holiness and righteousness, and we can't improve on it. It's already perfect. And so, He commands us to keep His precepts or His words. How? Not half-heartedly, not when we feel like it, but diligently. There is an urgency to keeping the Word of God. There's an urgency to understanding, to studying, to knowing it. And then, when we know it, to keep it. And to be as diligent and to be as serious about it as we can. Verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. A Christian, one of the first things that we will understand, and it doesn't take us very long in our walk with Christ, is that we can't do it without Him. We cannot walk according to the things of God, nor can we, do we have the willpower to fight the old nature until we turn ourselves over to the Lord Jesus Christ and we allow His Spirit to move within us and lead us. David wrote this, he says, Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Well, who would direct them? The Spirit of God. And my ways would become your ways. That's what he's saying. He said, Oh, I'd give anything, and I would do anything if my ways could simply be taken away and replaced with your ways. And I know that the only way I can do that is if you direct me, if you take a hold of my life, and you point me in the direction you want me to go, empower me to go in that direction, and strengthen me day by day. It's the only way that I can keep thy statutes. And in verse 5, the Word of God is referred to as statutes. Verse 6, Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Now, David says there will come a day when he would not be ashamed. But that day would depend on the respect that he has, not to a few of the commandments, not to one or two of them that he struggles with, but to all the commandments. I wonder sometimes, when I stand before the Lord someday, and we will all stand there, the one thing that I don't want to do when I stand before Jesus Christ is be ashamed of the life that I've chosen to live and some of the choices that I've made since becoming a Christian. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm not perfect. Not even close. Oh, Kathy will tell you I am, but don't believe her. I'm not even close. But I do not want to stand before the Lord, especially with His call upon my life as a pastor, and be ashamed that I didn't teach the Word of God and I didn't take it seriously and that I wasn't responsible before Him. And the only way that that's going to happen is if I respect all of the Word of God. If I study it, if I love it, if I try with every fiber of my being, as weak as this flesh is, to be honest before God and to do everything that I can to fulfill the Word of God. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect. You know, when you respect someone, when a husband truly respects his wife, he would never humiliate her or hurt her in any way. When a woman respects her husband, she would never publicly humiliate him because we respect them. Respect is a form of love. It comes out of love. So keep in mind that when we disobey God publicly, when we lose our temper, when we say things that we shouldn't say, when we do things we shouldn't do, we are showing disrespect for the Lord God. And so that should be all the incentive that we need to be as faithful as we can be. Because the last thing we want to do is show disrespect to the Lord who died for us. Verse 7. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will praise thee. This is a continuation. David's not saying, I have praised thee, or I praise thee today. He said, I will praise thee. In other words, I'm going to praise you for eternity. And I'm going to do it with an uprightness of heart because I have been saved, joyously saved, gloriously saved by the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to do everything I can to learn the righteous judgments of God. Now in verse 7, judgments are the word of God. And what he's speaking of is God's will. You will never know what God's will is for your life if you never read the Bible. If you never attempt to study it. Will you have questions? Absolutely. I don't know of anyone who has started to study the Word of God that didn't have questions. I had tons of them, still do. And I know. I will until I die. But I know one day, when I stand in His presence, the questions will be answered. And what a relief that is. All of those questions that I have, those things that I have not been completely sure of, the Lord God will answer them for me. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned the righteous judgments. You see, a heart that has been saved and is now righteous is a heart that is not only righteous, but filled with thanksgiving. Filled with thanksgiving. When we look back at what we were and what God saved us from, when we look in the Word of God, when we look at the book of Revelation, or we begin to look ahead a little bit to what's coming to this world and to those who reject Christ, you can't help but have a broken heart for those who don't know what we know, who have rejected the Word of God, but at the same time, we are filled with joy and thanksgiving that our eyes were opened and the darkness of sin has been replaced with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have had an opportunity to look into the face of our Savior, and what a blessing. Oh, that we should be on our knees every day before God, thanking Him for what He has done for us. Verse 8 says, I will keep thy statutes. That is a determined statement. I will keep. I'll not try to keep, Lord. I will keep thy statutes. But in the same breath, he says, oh, forsake me not utterly. David was determined, but he was weak. And that's exactly where you and I stand tonight. We should be determined in our heart that we're going to live for God. We're going to do everything in our power to please Him. We're going to do everything in our power to give a testimony concerning His wonders toward us, to help those that we love and those that we work with and our friends and our neighbors, to let them know about this wonderful Savior. But at the same time, we confess before God that in the flesh we are weak. We have our problems. And we have to get beyond those problems. We have to turn them completely over to the Lord. Now that's not, oh, it's easy to say, isn't it? But it's hard to do. That's not nearly as easy to do as it is to talk about it. But oh, the mercy of God and the long-suffering of God towards sinners. And even those of us who have cried out for forgiveness and we now walk with the blood of Jesus Christ upon us, we'll have our moments. But those moments will be different than the moments we had before. Because before we were alone. Now, He walks with us. What a blessing. What a blessing. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this portion of Scripture and for this study of the Word of God. And we just pray, Lord, as week by week, as we come in and as we examine ourselves in the mirror of God, and we see ourselves and we see the weaknesses that we have and we try to draw our strength from You and we cry out to You, Lord, I just pray that You would strengthen us Help us. Love us. Give us your power. Help us, Father, week in and week out to walk in thy ways, thy precepts, thy statutes, thy commandments. God, as we come now before you in prayer, we ask that you would bless, and God, that every request would be brought before you, and Father, we know that you will hear it. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.